I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello. Hi. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome back to the Killer Cuties podcast.
Yes, we are here today to talk about
a film.
The Skeleton Key. I couldn't remember what it was called.
Yeah, it is called The Skeleton Key. That's correct.
The Skeleton Key or just Skeleton Key?
The Skeleton Key.
Got it. But first, it's the last cast of the month, so you know what that means.
New movies.
New movies. February 2026 horror movie releases. Kick us off.
We're going to tell you all about them. And then we're going to tell you how excited we are for them, because we didn't want to do news, so.
Yeah.
That's our replacement.
This is better.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, first up, February 6th, we have Dracula. Another Dracula movie. Dracula's been hot the past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Little summary. When a 15th century prince witnesses the brutal murder of his wife, he renounces God and damns heaven itself. Cursed with eternal life, he is reborn as Dracula, who defies fate, in a crusade to wrench his lost love back from the death. From the dead? From the dead. On the verge of reuniting, Dracula is hunted by a relentless priest, sworn to end his immortal reign. This stars Caleb Landry Jones and also Christoph Waltz.
Yep.
1 to 10, how excited are you?
3.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen trailers for this, and it's whatever.
Yeah. There's been a lot of Dracula lately. That sounds like I was drunk. There's been a lot of Dracula lately, and I feel like I'm over it. It had its little renaissance, and now I'm done. So I'm going to give this like a 4. It's not.
Okay. Yeah, that's one opinion.
Oh, you're still into the Dracula renaissance?
Well, I just think that the bar was set so high with Nosferatu.
Yeah.
That, I mean, unless it's at that same caliber, this is just not going to do it for me.
Yeah.
But I would be interested in more Dracula at that caliber.
See, I didn't like Nosferatu as much as you did. I liked it, but not as much as you did.
Yeah, I love Nosferatu.
I think in the past, like, 5 years, we've just had so much that I'm like, okay. Now I feel like they're moving on to the werewolves, and we'll get that. And Frankenstein's big right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing, like, a classic monster renaissance.
Yeah.
And I think I'm kind of over all of it, if I'm being honest.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
All right, cool. 3 and a 4. We're not that excited for it.
Yeah.
Also on February 6th, we are getting The Strangers Chapter 3. In the final film of The Strangers trilogy, Maya faces the mass killers one last time in a brutal full circle reckoning of survival and revenge. How excited are you?
A 2.
That's pretty high, actually.
Really? I mean, I haven't seen the other ones.
Like a 0. Negative.
Yes.
I saw the first one of this trilogy, and that was enough for me to say I don't need to see any more. So they've been bad. Real bad.
Well, they can't all be winners.
Yeah. That one, I can't imagine myself going to see it. So.
Yeah. Well, we sound really negative right now. We promise we like horror
movies. We'll get up there. Just, you know, you got to get through the clunkers to get the gems, you know?
Yeah.
All right, last movie for February 6th. It's called Whistle. A misfit group of unwitting high school students stumble upon a cursed object, an ancient Aztec death whistle. They discover that the terrifying sound it emits when blowing the whistle will summon their future deaths to hunt them down. What do you think?
We'll say that again. Will summon their future deaths?
To come hunt them down.
To hunt their... What?
I think it's just like dead. Like their death is going to come after them now.
Okay.
That's what I got. Like, whatever they were gonna die of is coming. It's coming early.
Okay. Okay.
Because the All death right. whistle summoned it.
Okay. I'll give that a 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be interesting.
Yeah.
It's kind of giving, what's that one set in Mexico with the.
The ruins?
Anthropomorphized weed.
That's the ruins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. It's kind of giving that, combine that with that movie Tarot that came out like 2 years ago. That's what it's giving me. I don't think you saw that, but
no.
For the people that know, that's what it's giving. And Tarot was ass. I'm kind of a ruins defender, but also not the best movie in the world. So yeah. I think I'm at like a 3 here.
Okay.
I can't imagine it's going to be good, but you never know. Maybe it'll surprise me.
Yeah.
All right. Next release date is February 11th. We're only getting one movie that day. And I think we just talked about it a couple episodes ago because the trailer dropped. But Gale, Yellow Brick Road. Decades after her return, Dorothy, now an elderly woman, is tormented by memories of Oz. Her granddaughter Emily inherits the curse tied to her family's name. Drawn by unanswered questions and visions she can't explain, Emily finds herself pulled into the ruins of a realm once filled with wonder, now decayed and ruled by madness. To escape, Emily must confront the terror that consumed Dorothy and the truth about Oz.
There's also an Oz Renaissance right now.
Yeah.
What with Wicked and all.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to hold you.
It's not looking bright for February.
Yeah. January was a little promising. February, falling a little flat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
I'll give that a 3 for the Wicked of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm at a 3 as well.
Okay.
It feels a little like, I don't know, it's giving the whole
Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yes, Peter Pan's Nightmare Land, whatever. Like, it's giving that. And I don't think those movies are, they're not for me. So yeah. I can't imagine, again, that that's going to be good. But
yeah. Yeah, the public domain is a dangerous space for the horror community.
Yeah, it's,
no one's safe.
It's rough out there. All right, next date, we've got February 13th. Things are starting to look up here, I promise, all right? We've got Cold Storage. We talked about this.
Hell yeah.
In our, what, first episode of the year?
I think so.
All right, little summary. T-Cake and Naomi, two young employees of a self-storage company built on the site of an old U.S. military base, have the wildest night shift ever when a parasitic fungus escapes from the lowest sublevel of the base. With time running out, it's down to them, with the help of a retired bioterror operative, to contain the fungus and prevent the extinction of mankind itself. This is a horror comedy. It stars Joe Keery, Georgina Campbell, and Liam Neeson.
Hell yeah. Aslan the lion himself.
Yeah, the one and only.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Cast alone. I give it a 9.
That's what I was going to say.
Wow.
Yeah, this was, I think that we both listed this on some of our most anticipated this year, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liam Neeson doesn't do a whole lot of horror.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he's like my favorite actor in the world. But my mom loves him, so maybe I'll watch it with her.
He's kind of a one-trick pony.
Yeah, and he does it well. But
yeah.
Is that trick the trick I want to see when I go to the movies? Not always.
But unless he's a CGI lion.
So true.
Yeah.
My mom's actually going to be in town when that movie comes out, though, so maybe we'll go see it together. Best of both worlds.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Cool. All
right, cool. And then also on February 13th, we are getting the adaptation of The Mortuary Assistant.
Oh, hell yeah.
Rebecca Owens, a mortuary science graduate who takes a night job at Riverfields Mortuary. What begins as a routine job soon turns sinister as she faces terrifying supernatural forces. And this is based on the video game.
I personally would give it a 7 for the memes.
For the memes?
The memories.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, memes.
No.
I was like, I don't think so.
No. For the memories of
yeah.
our little community streaming it.
Yeah, I think I'm at an 8.
Okay.
I liked the game a lot. I'm curious to know how they're going to adapt it because it is one of, it's a game where there's multiple different endings. So I'm kind of excited to see which one they choose and how they decide, like what they decide to go with. So
yeah,
I'm curious.
And the game maybe they'll do it like Clue, where every cheater gets a different. Yeah.
They really just don't do it like they used to. They should.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. Tell us about the second half.
All right. In the back half of February, also on February 13th, we have Broken Bird. Sybil is a quiet, creative soul. Her hobbies are taxidermy and poetry. She works in a funeral parlor with the deceased. She likes dead people. They understand her. That's all the more summary we've got of that one.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot summary-wise for that one.
Weird.
Yeah. I think I'm at... I want to give this one like a 5. Because it could go either way. Yeah. Yep. It does kind of summary remind me of a different movie, which I really liked. So I'm kind of wondering if that will impact it at all, or if once I watch it, it won't really be anything like that, you know?
Sure, sure.
What about you?
I'll give it a 4 because I just don't feel like I have enough information.
Mm-hmm.
But Sybil sounds fun.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be friends with Sybil.
Yeah, yeah. Agreed. Last one for February 13th, Mimics. Down on his luck, impressionist Sam makes a pact with Fergus, a wicked strings-attached puppet that holds the promise to propel Sam to stardom, unleashing a nightmare that threatens the safety of those he holds dear. That sounds stupid.
Yeah, I think I'm at like a 2 for that.
Yeah.
I don't really care about puppets, and I don't really care about the name Fergus.
That is my cat's name.
I was literally going to say, unless it's a cat, because I know that that's your cat's name.
Yeah, also no, the dad's name in
you.
Brave.
I know. I was just teasing you because I know your connections to Fergus.
Got it. Oh, I see.
Yeah. I was rage baiting you, my dear friend. But yeah,
it didn't work.
Yeah,
I'm on Lexapro now.
Damn, foiled again. What about you?
I got 2. 1, I'll give it 1 extra point for the name Fergus.
Very fair.
Yeah. On the 20th, February 20th, we have Psycho Killer. Following the brutal murder of her husband, a Kansas Highway Patrol officer sets out on a journey to track down the perpetrator. As the hunt progresses, she comes to realize the man responsible is a sadistic serial killer, and the depth of his mental depravity and his sinister agenda is more twisted than anyone could have imagined. This one also stars Georgina Campbell.
She's doing it this year.
She is. Scream Queen.
Truly. I'm going to give this one a 7.5.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like I want to say early reviews have been promising.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a fair amount of hype around this one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it sounds like a slasher, kind of more rooted in reality, not supernatural, which I am always more of a fan of. So I'm excited.
Sure. The trailer for this one gave me the same, like, marketing vibes as the trailer for the first 28 years.
Oh.
Have you seen the trailer for Psycho Killer?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just the same sort of, like, quick succession clips, kind of, like, rugged, weird music in the background.
Yeah.
As 28, and it really worked for 28. That trailer was really creepy.
Yeah.
And it worked on this one, too.
Hmm.
But I don't know how interested I am in, like, Highway Patrol officer storyline.
I mean, I don't know how much of it is about that. I think that's just what he does, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably more how he got taken than... plot.
No, she is the officer. She's the highway patrol officer.
Oh, I thought it was her husband, a highway patrol officer.
He might also, but she is also, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
They both are.
I guess when I read now this, I got like, a I was reading it as.
No, you're right. Her husband, following the brutal murder of her husband, a Kansas highway patrol officer sets off on a journey. You read it as, yeah.
Following the death of her husband, a highway patrol officer.
Yeah.
Got it.
But yeah. But I see where you're coming from. But I see where.
Okay.
I feel like they're both. I'm pretty sure they're both. I'm pretty sure the trailer shows the moment of death, and they're both in uniform.
They're both partners.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd think that they wouldn't let two people who are together be partners.
But also, like, that was I didn't know that it was her husband until reading this. I thought it was just her partner, and she got really upset. Like, you know how police do.
I gotta watch the trailer, clearly.
Anyway, did I give it a number? I would give it a 6.
Cool. Yeah.
3 more. This is not a test. Also on February 20th, Sloane and a small group of her classmates take cover in their high school to escape their suddenly apocalyptic hometown. As danger relentlessly pounds on the doors, Sloane takes matters into her own hands. I don't like the name of this film with that summary. It feels cheesy.
Okay, yeah.
So you go first.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one I feel like that I'm kind of straight down the line. I think I'm at a 5 for this, where it could be kind of a sleeper hit, mm-hmm. but it could also just be really stupid. But I kind of like the idea that they're trapped in this school and something's going on. It feels very isolated, kind of The Mist, you know, where they're just trapped.
Yeah.
I do like the one location idea, but...
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say?
Yeah.
What about you?
I do find the phrase suddenly apocalyptic hometown compelling.
Yeah. What causes it?
Yeah. I don't know. The name's really throwing me off. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Fair.
Also on February 20th, the last two are they're all from February 20th. February 20th is a big day. The Dreadful, set in medieval England, 10. Anne and her domineering mother-in-law struggle to survive on the outskirts of society. But when a man from Anne's past returns from war, a curse begins to take shape through a mysterious night and threatens to destroy them all. This reunites Sophie Turner and Kit Harington and also stars Marcia Gay Harden. Wow, that's a 10 if I ever heard one. This is obviously my first time reading this.
You getting more and more excited the further along you read was great. This definitely sounds like a Katie movie.
Yeah. Damn, I'm excited for that one. That's a 10. Without question, that's a 10.
All right. I think I'm more at a 6 for me. I do think cast-wise it sounds interesting. I love Marcia Gay Harden. I've never seen Game of Thrones, so the other two I don't care. although Sophie Turner seems cool.
She seems fun.
Yeah, she seems like I don't know much about her, except that she seemed cool after her and Joe split, so I liked that.
She lived my childhood dream of divorcing a Jonas brother.
It was, your childhood dream was specifically divorcing one?
Hell yeah.
That's actually kind of baller. I like
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Not that one.
Oh, were you a Nick girl?
No.
Sorry, did we just find the only confirmed Kevin girl in the entire
world? Dude, I fucking love Kevin Jonas. as a kid, to be clear, I've moved on to Nick in my adulthood.
You were a Kevin girl.
But I was a Kevin girl.
That's genuinely the craziest thing you've ever said. I love that. I respect it.
Thank you. Yeah.
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 I was a Nick girl. I don't think I'm any of them now. I don't think I like them. But
oh,
sorry. I don't know. They give me Trump vibes. But
oh,
yeah.
One of them's well,
you know,
yeah,
purity rings, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
They, I don't know.
I mean, anyway. They were religious growing up for sure.
Gross. Yeah. Anyways. It seems like it could be interesting. I think I'm more interested in it because of the cast rather than the plot itself, but it could be fun.
Yeah. I guess I didn't think of mother-in-laws as a problem that people had in medieval England.
You thought that was more modern.
It feels very modern to not like your mother-in-law, but hey.
Transcends time and space.
It really does, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay, last one, super short.
Mm-hmm.
February 20th, Diabolic. The vengeful spirit of a cursed witch latches on to a woman who's seeking a cure for mysterious blackouts. Who or what is blacking out? People?
Well, I think the woman.
Oh, she's for her own blackouts.
I mean, I would assume.
Well, when I first read that, the first thing I thought of was the city is blacking out.
Oh.
Then okay. I thought a bunch of people, like a pandemic of blackouts.
Yeah.
And then you said she's the one blacking out. It's just very vague.
Know. Yeah. Who's to say? It could be any or all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one is hard because I don't know anybody in the cast. I haven't heard about this until I looked up upcoming movies, which sometimes not a good sign. Yeah. The poster also uses the font, I think, from American Horror Story, which is interesting to me.
Ew.
So, yeah, but also witch. And I love a mystery.
But it's not witch. It's vengeful spirit of a witch latching on to a woman.
That's true. I think I'm going to go four here.
Okay.
What about you?
I just wish I had more clarity on the blackouts piece.
Yeah.
I'll give it a three.
Fair. I mean, I feel like we were pretty spread across the board there.
Yeah.
We had some clunkers. We had some middle of the road. We had some excitement.
Yeah.
Who's to say? Time will tell if those excitement levels coincide with the outcomes of us actually liking those movies or not.
Yeah. We need to write this all down and compare when we've seen them all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good luck out there. This February.
Yeah. You guys let us know which ones you're excited for and which ones sound like ass. But until then, we're going to talk about the skeleton key today.
The skeleton key.
The one and only. All right, I'll give us a little rundown.
Okay.
The skeleton key is a 2005 supernatural folk horror. A little summary, a good-natured nurse living in New Orleans quits her job at a hospice to work for Violet, an elderly woman whose husband is in poor health following a stroke. When she begins to explore the couple's rundown bayou mansion, she discovers strange artifacts and learns that the house has a mysterious past. As she continues to investigate, she realizes that Violet is keeping a sinister secret about the cause of her husband's illness. That's from Google. This is directed by Ian Softley. It's written by Aaron Kruger. It stars Kate Hudson, Jenna Rollins, and Peter Sarsgaard. It had a budget of $43 million and made $94 million at the box office. It currently has a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, a 3.1 out of 5 on Letterboxd, a 58% audience score, and a 38% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Hmm. Mixed. Mixed reviews. Also, shame on you for not mentioning Sir John Hurt.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I usually just pull the top three build, but you're right. John, it is kind of a foursome. This cast is very... He deserves that cred. Apologies.
Yeah.
Apologies, Mr. Hurt.
For not Sir Hurt.
Sir Hurt.
Thank you. For not having any lines. his role sure did have an impact.
He does say, help me.
And Caroline.
Caroline.
So I guess he does have a line or two.
Help me. Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
Day one, Softly said that John Hurt, Sir John Hurt, showed up on set and said, well, I've learned all my lines.
Cute.
Yeah, I think that's fun.
I, too, have learned all of his lines.
Mm-hmm. You just said them all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just rehearsed, proved it.
I'll learn all of Kate Hudson's lines. And then you're ready to go for John Hurt's part. And then we'll do a two-woman show of the Skeleton Key.
Great. John Hurt, sir. John Hurt, sir. Was offered the role and accepted because he was excited about the prospect of being able to play someone that didn't have any speaking parts. He said, I've always been looking for a part that doesn't have to speak. It's got Gina Rowlands in it. It's New Orleans. It's just got all the makings of a very good film. That was a quote directly from him.
It's Jenna Rowlands.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I found that out looking up this movie. By the way, I thought it was kind of funny because Gina, it's spelled Gina.
Yeah.
Or how you would think Gina is spelled. Mm-hmm. But it's pronounced Jenna. And then it's written by Aaron Kruger, but spelled E-H-R-E-N, not how you think Aaron is spelled. And then it's directed by Ian Softly, but again, not spelled how you think Ian's spelled. And I was like, everybody here just needs to figure out what's going on because nobody's name is spelled the way I think it's spelled.
How do you spell Ian?
I-A-N.
How does he spell it?
He just adds another I. I-A-I-N.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's even worse is, what's his name? Ian Jeering or whatever his name is. Where it's spelled Ian, but it's pronounced Ian. Do you know what I'm talking about? What's his name?
No.
I'll look it up. Jeering. Is he dead? Oh, no, he's not dead. He's not gay? Oh, my God, I'm learning so much about him. He's in Sharknado, by the way.
Oh, great.
And his name is spelled Ian, but it's pronounced Ian.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. He was on The Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, that's how I know him. Back when reality TV stars were just that.
For just that. His name in the Sharknado movies is Finn. That's funny.
Why?
Because Finn, sharks have fins. His name's Finn. That's funny.
Got it.
Oh my gosh, they did a crossover with Lavalantula.
What the fuck? Like a lava tarantula?
Yeah. It's a tarantula that's shooting lava out of its mouth. And he reprises his role as Finn Shepard in that. That's really funny.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's fun facts about a person who has nothing to do with this movie.
Well, I mean, you were complaining about Ian being spelled incorrectly. His name is spelled Ian.
But not, yeah.
But it's pronounced Ian.
Yeah, well.
Well, sorry, Jenna.
That's okay. I was pronouncing it Gina the entire time I was writing all of my fun facts. And then I watched an interview with Kate Hudson where they said her name. And they were like, oh yeah, Jenna Rowland. She's great. And I was like, huh? And then I looked it up. But if I hadn't watched that, I would have been right there with you calling her Gina this whole time.
Well, fun fact about Jenna.
Mm-hmm.
This is her first horror film. And that was why she took it, is because it would have been her first horror.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How fun.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to do one.
Yeah.
At least, right? I think I would want to. I know that was semi-part of the reason Kate Hudson wanted to do it, too, because it was a departure of a lot of things that she'd done previously.
Mm-hmm.
But she also said she got the screenplay while she was filming another movie, and they were like, hey, like, we kind of need a quick turnaround, so if you could read this quick and let us know if you're interested. And she read it on her lunch break, and she said she read it in about 45 minutes. And she was like, yeah, I'm in.
Ironic, because then she got pregnant, and they had to push filming back 9 months.
Yeah.
But you know what?
They wanted her. They knew what they wanted, and they said, we'll wait.
Yeah. Fun.
Yeah, I like the... When I read about the pregnancy, they said her character's her character being pregnant would not be appropriate. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how that would work. Like, in the lore of it all.
I mean, would it change anything?
I don't...
Or would she just be pregnant?
Yeah, she would just be pregnant with not her baby.
Yeah. But what if, I mean, she's in that body. It's hers now.
But what if she accidentally goes into the baby's body? What if she wasn't, what if they didn't know she was pregnant?
And the body switching went into her.
Into the baby.
I don't know if that would work, though, because part of the thing is that you have to believe, and the baby can't believe.
Baby can't believe.
It doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
So, you heard it here first, debunked, if she had been pregnant. It wouldn't have mattered. She couldn't have gotten into the baby.
Damn.
You heard it here first.
Interesting sequel, though. Try to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah. Skeleton key two.
I mean, you could also argue. Yeah. You could also argue, though, that the baby doesn't know not to believe.
Yeah, but is not knowing that you could believe the same as believing? I don't think so.
Well, it's not disbelief.
Yeah, but you could argue that when Caroline arrived, she didn't know anything about it. So she couldn't not believe, so they could have just done it then. But they had to make her believe. So I think that is a key part of it. Wow. Skeleton key lore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of fun.
Yeah. It's a lot. You know what? But...
Yeah. Kind of hopping off of this. Early in the film, there is a moment where Violet is kind of like, not upset, but like a little bit, because Caroline doesn't have a New Orleans accent. She's not from there. And by the end of the movie, we know that that's because her plan is to take over her body and their accents aren't going to match, which does that really matter in the long scheme of things? I don't know. Maybe she just felt that that was part of her identity and wanted to keep that.
Yeah.
But this then made me think, would it matter? Or is that a muscle memory? Because this is basically your mind inside someone else's body. So would that memory of how you move your mouth be connected to your brain or your physical body? Because in reality, anybody can have any accent. It's just how we're raised to speak.
Yeah.
So you would think that she would just move Caroline's mouth in an accent. Because that's how she knows how to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think that.
Right?
The other little tidbit that in hindsight, I was like, oh, that's why she said that, was the tattoo comment.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you must be, like, trying to suss out where her tattoos were so she would know where her own tattoos were going to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that and then... Also, when Luke and Caroline are talking and Violet, like, interrupts them. And she's like, oh, you guys getting to know each other? And Luke's like, you're the only woman in my life, you know?
Yeah.
First watch, you're kind of like, oh, he's just being, like, a southern gentleman. And then rewatch, you're like, oh, no, literally.
Yeah.
They're together.
They're together.
Yep.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I also wondered, I didn't see this anywhere, but I wondered if her necklace, Caroline's necklace with like the red. Do you know what necklace I'm talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Like a fine bead necklace, and there was like one little slit of like red beads right at her throat. I wondered if that was foreshadowing to her being choked.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know what? I bet something's going to happen to her neck. And sure enough,
it did. She did get choked.
Yeah. I don't know if this movie's big brain enough for that kind of. But who's to say?
We'll never know.
No.
Mr. Softly, please let us know if that was intentional or not.
Here's a fun fact about me that ties into the film.
Love.
At the beginning of the movie, Caroline's reading Treasure Island, and in Treasure Island, one of the main characters suffers a stroke, and then obviously it turns out that Ben, you know, she goes to care for Ben with the stroke or whatever.
Right.
In high school,
yes,
I had to read Treasure Island, and then we had to do this assignment where we brought like a bag full of stuff to like describe the book.
Okay.
And I brought a paintbrush because he had a stroke. That one was a real hit, I tell you what.
How clever.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been dying for the opportunity to tell that story.
And here we are.
Yeah, basically since high school.
Wow. Well, I'm glad that we could be an outlet for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I have two fun facts about kind of stunt work-ish. Not really. I guess just like danger. But Sir John Hurt offered to perform the stunt of Ben falling off of the roof. They didn't allow him, though. They said, nope, that's too dangerous. We can't guarantee that you won't get injured, so you're not allowed to do it. I wonder if that's like something that you would have to work into your contract. Because I know there are some actors who do their own stunts.
Yeah.
And that's like part of what they do. So I wonder if maybe you just have to work up to that. Or if there's like certain contract stipulations that you have to put in to allow you to do that.
I'm sure it's contractual.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I care about, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, we know you're a big Tom Cruise girl.
Well, no. I like that he does. No.
Big fan. Seen all his movies.
Well, I've seen his movies, but
loves them. All of them.
I just like that he does his own stunts. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, no, I know. You love him in movies, outside of movies.
I like his little cult that he does. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, who doesn't love a cult? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to keep saying that you love Scientology until that's just part of
that's my bit. That I'm incredibly susceptible. My aunt was in Scientology.
Wait, that's actually scary. Is she out? Is she okay?
She's out.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's actually no joke. It's genuinely a cult.
She jokes about it.
Oh, good. Okay. She lived it. She's allowed.
Yeah.
Anyways, the other kind of stunty fact that I had was that while they were filming one of the nighttime sequences during a rainstorm, they didn't mention that it was the time that he falls off, but maybe it was either that or when Jenna Rowland's character is like chasing Caroline away, or I don't know. They didn't mention which one, but during one of the scenes at night, Gina Rowland slipped and fell and she broke her hand. So she was forced to take a 5-week break from shooting. And then when she had to finish the rest of her scenes, they had to do it in California because they'd already wrapped up filming in Louisiana. So,
poor thing.
Yeah.
You slipped a little Gina in there.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I tried so hard too.
It's crazy.
Damn, Jenna.
It just is Gina, like,
change your phonetically. Name. It really should be, but I apologize.
No, we're sorry, Jenna.
Jenna.
I have an actual stunt fact.
Oh, great, yeah.
And it goes back to that, like, contractual thing. Kate Hudson did a majority of her stunts. The only one that she didn't do was the mirror scene towards the end.
Oh, so she must have not have been come at her?
I guess not. But I guess I don't know about that, why they would not let, well, Kate's words are a little less intense than falling off a building, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other stunt that she really did, and it was kind of more fighting scenes than real stunt work, but
getting choked.
Yeah. Still fun, though.
Yeah, for sure.
during the scene where, well, I guess maybe kind of stunty a little bit, but the scene where she had to row away on the little boat, they basically went out during the day and then waited for the sun to go down to start filming. But she's, you know, on this tiny little boat, so she's very close to the water. The whole crew is on a pontoon next to her filming and, you know, doing everything that a crew does. But she said where she was at, it was basically just like, as soon as the sun went down, swarms of mosquitoes, because they're in this swamp on the water directly. Yeah. And she said at one point she just looks up and the pontoon just has mosquito nets all around it. And she's like, hey, guys, we can't do this anymore. So she said at one point she was just like, I'm happy to keep doing this, but I'm afraid I'm going to wake up tomorrow and look like I have chicken pox. And yeah. So like, what can we do about the situation? Because I don't know how, like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And Softly basically was like, we're going to wrap. We got what we need. We're going in, because they were just getting massacred by mosquitoes.
Oh, that's the worst.
I know. I like got itchy just like reading about it.
Yeah. Ugh. Like dengue fever.
Yeah, mosquitoes are dangerous too.
West Nile. Yeah. And like that volume of mosquitoes. I guess it's not really about the volume of the mosquitoes, though. It's more about where they are in relation to the disease.
Yeah.
But still.
You'd think that they'd be able to do so. I don't know. Put a little, what is the candles called? Citronelle candles or something?
Yeah.
Do something.
I'm not convinced that that actually works. We had citronella when our hot tub was up. We had citronella candles all over the place, and I don't feel like it ever did anything. And they make those like bracelets or whatever. I don't feel like those do anything. I just think mosquitoes are put on Earth to annoy the shit out of us, and there's nothing we can do about it.
That's true.
And frankly, we probably deserve it.
Yeah.
You want to know my favorite fun fact about this movie?
Always.
When Caroline gets to the gas station on her way to Ben's house, Ben and Violet's house, there's a wind chime made of bones.
Yeah.
It's made out of raccoon penises.
It is.
Fun fact.
Very fun fact.
Yeah, that's the most fun fact of all of these.
Yeah, I think so too, because I have a turtle penis, so.
You do. Yeah.
It's hanging on my wall downstairs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, we should just go while we're ahead. Do you want to rate it?
You're just done. That's it. You don't have any other fun facts?
I've got a couple.
Oh. Do you want to say them or are you over it?
No, I really, my only other one is that the swamp is CGI, which generally I feel like I have a pretty good eye for that kind of thing, but I did not notice any CGI sets.
No. Well, and I think it's because, like, obviously when she's on the water, they are on the water. It's just not next to the house.
Yeah.
So they just had to CGI it in, like, the background when they were doing the shots of the house with the swamp there. But yeah, I feel like it worked enough. If you didn't know going into it, you probably wouldn't be looking for it. It's just when it's in the background, you're not paying attention to it that much. So
yeah,
it worked out. A lot of people have compared this to Get Out. A lot of people say this movie walked so Get Out could run.
That's offensive.
Oh, to which one?
To Get Out.
Get Out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's definitely similarities, right? There's kind of a racial element to it. Body swapping. I get where people are coming from when they see the similarities. And apparently a producer at Blumhouse reached out to Softly before Get Out came out and said, hey, just so you know, this movie's kind of similar in some ways.
No.
And Softly just was... I don't think he really felt any sort of way about it. He said it happens, like, that happens all the time in movies where there's going to be similar concepts in other movies. Mm-hmm. And he says that he thinks it's funny that people like get outraged on his behalf for that, because he's like, it's not a big deal, like I don't care at all. So he's like, I think that movie's good and there's room for both, like I don't know. Yeah, interesting. There is also, I found a kind of a deep dive, like I don't know if it was like a senior hypothesis or something, but basically someone did a whole deep dive into this movie and its look on like race and cultural appropriation and all that kind of stuff. And it was kind of an interesting read. So I feel like I want to link it in the description in case anybody wants to read through it. But it was by someone at the Heidelberg Center for American Studies, or the HCA. So I'll link it because I was kind of like reading through some of it just to get a different perspective on how people feel it handles the issue of race and that. But I found it kind of interesting to deep dive into it.
Yeah. I also read it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because that was my first thought, was this feels weird to me.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to confirm that I wasn't the only one thinking that way.
Oh. You found that that was painting it in a bad light?
I mean, I talk about it in my ratings, but it, I don't know. I did get the vibe of like capitalizing on Black culture without showing, like without showcasing Black voices almost. I don't know. It just felt very weird, especially in the context of like plantation.
Yeah.
For the white person to be the victim. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. It just felt weird to me.
Yeah, no, I think that that's fair. I guess, yeah, it definitely depends on how you view it. Because I know later in the article they say, they talk about the ending. And I actually, like, wrote down what they said. But, look, this is a direct quote. They said, the ending works both as a type of supernatural justice or revenge for what had happened to Papa Justify and Mama Cecile, and personally against Caroline. It's established throughout the movie that young African Americans are not disturbed by what they cannot understand, namely hoodoo. Caroline, as an outsider, however, pushes forward with her informal investigation, another sign of her othering process of hoodoo. Jill, Caroline's friend of African American descent, refuses to involve herself deeply because she is not, or just not going to mess around with it. But hoodoo to Caroline is nothing but a mystery to be solved, not a part of cultural identity. So yeah, I guess it depends on if you see them as critiquing Caroline's actions, and that's why the ending happens, is that's kind of her comeuppance, or if you view it as a victimhood.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think I was happy for the characters not on screen. Papa Justify.
Oh, yeah. And Mama Cecile.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like you're right. It depends on what lens you're looking at it from.
Yeah.
Is like, are we looking at it through that because we are the people that we are? And when someone else look at it and be like, of course, this white woman just got terrorized. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah.
You're right. Does the movie make that statement, or do we as watchers make that, you know?
But do you know what it also made me think of, like, really weirdly, is how Disney always puts, like, turns POCs into animals, is really what it felt like to me.
Oh, okay, because they're,
because they're not
over other bodies, they're not themselves.
Yeah, like, why can't we just have Black characters? Yeah. Why do they have to be white? Why do they have to be animals? You know what I mean?
Well, and I do understand what you're saying. I think in this context, it makes more sense because, like, that's who's living at the plantation. Like, that's their home that they're trying to stay in. So I think it's just whoever comes is who they're taking over.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting, though.
Yeah.
I feel like, this is one of those ones where it could go either way. And it's kind of like, did it really make a statement, or are you getting the statement that you want through the lens that you're looking at it from?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that you don't have to think about that with Get Out.
No, Get Out is very firm in what it is saying. 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
No. And I, listen,
we're never going to compare this movie to Get Out. Get Out is a masterpiece. Like, no. But yeah, I do see. I get why people compare it to that and why they say, like, I think someone's Letterboxd comment was like, wow, Get Out's first draft is pretty fun, huh? but yes, no, everything that this movie did, Get Out did a million times better.
Astronomically better. Yeah. Yeah. And just like, and more like clearly and like almost sensitively, but also not sensitively. I don't know. I don't know. It just made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, context matters. And like, this movie was also made in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Not the most woke era we've ever had, so.
Yeah. Well, should we rate it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How scary did you think it was?
I gave it a 1, not because it is scary, because it's not. However, I first saw this movie at the ripe age of 12 years old. Oh, so yeah. I did give it a little bump because I do remember the first time I watched this. And boy, was I shaken in my boots.
Sure.
Now, 0. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I gave it a 0.5.
Yeah.
Usually paranormal does it for me, but this just sort of, I don't know, I was just taken out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because of the PG-13 rating or because I was just like thinking too hard. I don't know. There were a couple jump scares, but nothing worth bumping it up from a 0.5.
Yeah, very valid.
Yeah.
How sexy did you think it was?
I gave it a 1
mm-hmm.
for Swamp.
Yeah, Swamp, for sure.
Yeah. There's just something. It's just like, it's like Shrek is really what it is.
Mm, yes.
Yeah. How about you?
I gave it 1 just for cast.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I'm not into blondes, but hey, Kate Hudson's cute.
Yeah.
Sure.
Also,
her friend, stunning.
Yeah.
Put her in the movie a little bit more.
Yeah, honestly.
That was the first thing I did. Pulled it up on IMDb and I was like, who the hell is that? Because I don't remember her.
Mm-hmm. Also, speaking of cast, I know this isn't probably who you were talking about necessarily, but Sir John Hurt had been playing like decrepitly old people for like 30 years.
Yeah. He played a young guy in Alien and then played the old men for the rest of his life.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there was a adjacent recreation of his chest burster scene in this film that I thought was funny.
Mm, yeah. That is good.
Mm-hmm. Is it my turn? How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1 just for, you know, again, we just had a whole discussion about whether or not this was handled appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm smart enough or the right person to definitively say whether or not. I think I'm very much seeing it through the lens that of my background. So that's, you know. But yeah, so I gave it a little bit of a point just for that. Because, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Somebody who's smarter than me, let me know.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I gave it a 1 also. It just felt kind of fucked up to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know that anything in it was the traditional definition of fucked up necessarily. It just felt off as a concept to be like masking black characters with white characters, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
All right. Overall, what did you think of The Skeleton Key?
Well, I've said it. Something felt not great about watching it. I just felt uncomfortable with the idea of capitalizing on black culture without actually showing black characters. That just felt really weird. And like, on the other hand, the acting was good. The twist was very compelling. The setting was amazing. Love Louisiana, love the like hoodoo vibes. But there just like had to be a better way to do it. And obviously there was, because Get Out exists. And it's, I don't know. I keep going back and forth. I gave it right down the middle, 2.5. The twist in the production alone is what gave it. I bumped it up to that. I'm just conflicted.
Yeah, very fair.
How about you?
I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
I think, again, I'm seeing it through my lens. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, a happy ending.
But, yeah.
But did the movie really, you know, stand 10 toes down and make a statement? I'm not sure. I don't think so. So, you know, take that for what you will. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is definitely like a quintessential early 2000s movie where I'm like, is this the best movie ever made? Absolutely not. But is it kind of fun to watch, especially with the, like the twist ending? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too far off.
Yeah. No, just half a point. It's kind of a mid-movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had potential.
Which we saw.
Mm-hmm.
In Get Out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is kind of one where I'm like, oh, like, do I want to watch a movie that centers race and body swapping? Yeah, I do. What am I going to watch? It's going to be Get Out every single time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Would you survive?
I'm pretty susceptible to belief in the supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, however, like the thought of leaving the old man. So I think I'm, but I know I'd keep my head down a little bit more and I wouldn't have gone looking in the attic.
Got it.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that means I live or die?
I don't know. I mean, if you're not nosy.
Well, did she have to go into the attic in order for all of this to transpire? I mean, the goal was to body swap.
I think they were very much trying to make her believe, right? So they were kind of like setting up these things of interest for her, knowing that she's a nosy woman and she's gonna go searching.
Yeah.
So I think they were kind of pushing her curiosity on purpose.
I don't think they would need to do that for me. I think I would just believe them.
Got it. So you would show up and be like, whatever you're cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're body swapped.
I guess so.
You're done for.
It's for the best.
Yeah. Well,
I can think of less valiant causes.
Yeah, no. If there's a way to go, it's not the worst.
Yeah. How about you?
I think I live. I am the skeptic of all skeptics when it comes to pretty much anything in that realm.
Yeah.
Anything supernatural, religion, witchcraft, ghosts, voodoo, hoodoo, magic. I don't believe in any of it. And considering it only works if you believe in it, I think I'm okay. I don't think they're getting me. I think we go through like 6 to 9 months of me being a caretaker before they're like, look, nothing is working. We gotta fire her and find someone else. So I think I'm okay.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
It really does boil down to your susceptibility.
Are you gonna believe or not? Yeah.
Yeah, and I am and you're not. That, yeah.
Yeah, well, rip to you.
Not uncommon.
True. All right. Well, next week, we are going to be talking about Pet Sematary and its remake.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tell me what it's about?
I probably have enough context about it to know.
Great.
It's a family. They move into a house. This is how all of my predictions start, but this is actually what happens.
That is like half of every horror movie, so.
Yeah, that's true. And it's like on a cemetery and their cat goes crazy, I think, because it's a pet cemetery.
Got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the cat is like trying to tell them, hey, you can't be here because all the pets are going to come alive. Mm-hmm. Not alive, but you know what I mean. Like ghost.
Right.
And chase you out of your house.
Yeah.
I think it's like not one of the more graphic, like death. There's not a whole lot of death in this one. Other than like all the pets are dead, obviously.
Right.
Except the cat, which is alive.
Right. And
talking to all the dead pets.
Yes. So the family is communicating to the dead pets through their cat, or the cat's just on its own adventure?
No, the cat's DIYing. It's doing its own thing.
Got it. Okay, so is it more of following the cat than the family, or?
Yeah, the cat's the main character.
Of course.
Yeah, but like the family collectively moves to the new home, and then
they all
slowly realize that they're on top of a cemetery and it's a pet cemetery, but we get more context from the cat character than we do the human characters. And in the end, they make peace. It'd be very Stephen King of them to just make peace with the pets in the cemetery.
They just live with all their little dead pet friends. Are they ghosts?
Yeah. Yeah, like spirits.
Sure.
Yeah. And the remake, mm-hmm. shot for shot, why they even bother. That's my prediction for that.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Can't wait.
Amazing.
Yeah. There is a pet cemetery. And there is a cat.
As the name and poster imply.
Yeah. Definitely more about the family than the cat. But the cat does have a role. It plays its role for sure.
Does it have lines?
No. No, the cat does not talk.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, sorry. Well,
is it a real cat or is it a CGI cat?
I think it's a real cat.
In both films?
I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
It's been so long since I've seen the original. And if I'm being 100% honest with you, I was violently intoxicated when I saw the remake.
Oh, so dear.
My memory of that one is shaky.
Okay.
Yeah. Two for one margaritas. Did that for about 4 hours before I went to see this movie, so.
Yikes. When did it come out?
2019.
Oh, okay.
Well, wow. What did you think? I was like 12? Just shooting them back.
Weirder things have happened in Iowa.
No, I wasn't even in Iowa. I was in Los Angeles, and I got done at my shift in WeHo, walked over to Cabo Cantina, shot back some margs, ate some nachos, and went to see Pet Sematary. This was back when MoviePass was a thing. It was one of my MoviePass movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. Wow. We've all had a horror story at a Cabo Cantina, haven't we?
Just one?
I mean, I've personally had several, yeah.
For 4 years, I had a horror story every weekend at Cabo Cantina.
Oh my god.
And you know what? Can't wait to go back. Love that place.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Love Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, some people don't even know what we're talking about.
Wow, everybody come to LA and just go to Cabo Cantino and then go home.
Yeah, but the one in Balboa is the best one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I loved the one that was right next to my office, but it got shut down, so.
Oh, sad. What is it now?
I know. I have no idea. I haven't been back there since I worked remote, so.
Oh. Long time.
Yeah, it shut. Well, I went remote right before COVID, and then it shut down during COVID, so. Yeah. It was, yeah. Yeah, rip. Anyways, thank you all for listening to us yap for an hour. We appreciate you.
Tell us your Cabo Cantina order in the comments below.
Please tell us what you get at Cabo Cantina or your favorite place to get margs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what new movies you're looking forward to in February. And as always, please feel free to like, subscribe, comment.
Yep.
And we'll see you next week for Stephen King's Pet Sematary.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.